Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
What you talking about, Willis? It's Shauna Gillis.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go Milo.
Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer. Hannah,
God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Lulu Simon.
Sue Sue Studio.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
We're all in with Julia Conlin.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Ann.
Nancy, Cease, and Desisto. We love you guys.
Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much to crappens? Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much to crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. You can also find me over on the Rose Pricks Bachelorette Roast podcast. And here I am with Ben Mandelka, who is of the Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which you can find on L YouTube. Hi, Ben.
Hi. I'm so close to getting the new episode up. I just have to, like, animate their little mouths as they talk. So it'll probably be up tomorrow or Wednesday, so who knows? Maybe even tonight. Whoa.
What? Who knows? Whoa. We just got back from a whirlwind trip to do two live shows in Milwaukee and Minneapolis, and they were so much fun. Ugh, thank you so wonderful. Much to everyone who came out. I mean, we sold the theater out of Rosé. Someone barfed at one of the shows. I mean, we partied like maniacs at those shows. That was really a good weekend. So thank you, everyone who came out.
Yeah, and thank you to everyone who gave us lovely little gifts and snacks and things like that. That's just so nice of you guys to do. We always feel so welcomed. And what a great trip to the heartland, right? What a great trip.
Yes, I got a little painting of Bueller. It's amazing. That was so thank you for that.
Phenomenal.
I mean, that I was painting. Touched. Mm-hmm. I almost squirted out salties. Okay, so those live shows are really good times. So if you guys want to come, we have some coming up. Whoa. In July, we are going to three different places right in a row. It's going to be a whirlwind, another whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to Cleveland, Ohio, Pittsburgh, PA, and Baltimore, Maryland on the 25th, 26th, and 27th. Now, Pittsburgh is sold out, but we've still got tickets over for Cleveland and Baltimore. So get your tickets. Then in September, we're in Nashville, Tennessee. And in November, we're in Indianapolis. And then we've got two shows the following couple of weeks in New York City. Two shows in a night. One is sold out. One is not. So grab some tickets. And also, St. Louis, Missouri,
woo, woo, woo.
In December. Woo, woo,
woo. And you know what? We're adding a new city, manana. Tomorrow, like, you know, keep an eye out on our social media.
Or just a big one.
Podcast. It's big. It's actually, we've been told this theater is like a... it's like a significant theater, and it's like a really cool get for us. So we're excited to announce that tomorrow.
Yes, and we have got so many shirts on sale right now, other than the Watch What Crappens merch, which, I mean, that's amazing. You can get Dorinda shirts from Real Housewives of New York. You can get Martini Medicine from Southern Charm. And you can also get a Team LVP shirt. I can't go to the reunion. You can get all of those for the next couple of weeks over at crappensmerch.com or just find ticket links, everything over at watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, there's free shipping until the 14th on orders over 45 or more. So go get those things. Okay, everybody? Thanks to everybody who bought them. It is so fun to go to a show and see so many people wearing our merch. Okay? It makes us teary-eyed.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're going to get into Potomac, but I really have to say, I was like a little bit on a high from this weekend. I thought, Both cities were amazing, and everyone just treated us so nicely and so well, and it was just great. I love doing these live shows, so we're really excited to come see you guys. So
we're really grateful to have this chance to travel around. We really do love it, and every single time, you know, we thought maybe we'll get sick of it, or maybe we'll get sick of each other.
Yeah,
but we really don't. You know, we really love it, and we get closer, which is weird.
Yeah,
and because we're already pretty close. And so it's really fun. So, you know, thanks for giving us the good feels. I personally came home and was like, don't speak to me. Yeah. Don't look at me. I couldn't move.
The dog sitter
was bringing Bueller back, and I fell asleep on the couch.
I struggled because, you know, when I got home, I sort of hit the ground running. I had all these things I had to do. And then I had dinner last night. And by the time I got home, and by the time I was, like, ready to settle in to watch Potomac, it was, like, 11:15 or 11:30 because my boyfriend had some people over here that were watching the Tonys. So I was like, this was a little bit of a struggle for me to watch, not because the show was bad, but I was exhausted. And I'm a little, you know, we're going to see what my notes are like. It's probably going to be like, and then Karen went off on a unicorn and drove to Detroit. Like,
you know, that was funny that you say that because Karen did go off on a unicorn. Just
okay, it wasn't just me. Also,
that could happen on this show. Karen will just start yelling at anybody. Like, she saved up this yelling for a long time. And now it's like over beignets at a fast food place, you know,
Which is where it should happen.
Like, and for the
that's when I'm most likely to yell at you, Ronnie. If it's the morning and I haven't really had my coffee yet and there's like a beignet around, but I haven't quite been able to eat it yet, I'll be like, fuck it. I'm frustrated. I'm going to take it out on Ronnie right now.
And I reacted the same way that Giselle does. I drink some chocolate milk and dip a donut into it. And then all I hear is, blah, 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 blah,
you just stuff a beignet in my mouth. I'm like, oh, Ronnie, you're my best friend. Oh, wait, I just want to say one other thing, which is at the Minneapolis show, we love to give a shout out to our premium and super premium sponsors if they're in the audience. And we did not realize that Jamie, no namey, was there, which was great because Jamie has been actually like, she has been a listener of this podcast and like reader of our blog since like 2004 or five. So sorry, Jamie, we didn't give you
cool
a big
to
shout
meet you,
out.
Jamie. Love you, girl.
Yeah. Okay, Potomac.
Potomac, now that we're done with our Tony speech after winning for Frozen, musical.
Frozen. Craig is very excited somewhere. Wow, my favorite.
Frozen Heart, the musical, starring Rondell. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, Hadestown did win, and Hadestown is a great way to describe the cast of Potomac sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. They're bringing Hadestown to NOLA.
Yeah. So, we're right where we left off last week, which is Ashley and Candace having a drunken fight over Ashley drinking when she claims that she's trying to get pregnant. And everyone's basically coming down on Candace. And I'm oddly on Candace's side, not because I don't think it's... I think you're totally allowed to drink when you're trying to get pregnant, but mainly because Ashley went out of her way to this whole rigmarole about, like, I'm putting on socks, I'm not drinking, I'm doing yoga, I'm eating tree leaves, you know? So it's like, don't say all that shit, make me listen to your whole spiel, and then you're drinking Coronas one after the other.
Well, girl, you could do whatever you want. You're still trying to have a baby with 90-year-old sperm. You know what I mean? It's like me when I'm like, I'm a vegetarian, I'm eating 500 calories a day, and then I smoke a carton of cigarettes, you know? Yeah. Like, real healthy there, buddy.
Yeah. My friend shamed you for that this weekend. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, you know, so does life. That's just how it works. So, I don't care. I've got plenty of shame. Pack it on. I'm like a shame pack mule.
Yeah. If we didn't have shame, we would not be able to do this podcast. This podcast is just a projection of our shame, okay? I think everyone should realize that, right?
Yeah. And also, people on the internet went crazy this week because Candace told a story about how her mom used to diagnose her at the table and called her bipolar when she was 10. That really shaped her life. Well, first of all, you're an asshole, okay? So that's really all she needed to diagnose you as. And second of all, am I the only one who has a mother that diagnoses them with like 9 million diseases? I'm fine, okay?
Yeah.
Like obsessive compulsive, manic depressive, you know, psychotic, sociopathic. I mean, she's throwing them all at me and I'm just fine. You know, here's what you do if you have feelings. Put some mustard on them and eat them like any normal person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good way to put it. Good way to put it.
Yeah, stop your bitching.
Yeah. Giselle's basically like, Candace, you know what? You just need to be a friend right now. Be a friend right now. Which is like, since when has Giselle ever taken that advice? I mean, the queen of not being a friend right now. Do you remember the press conference? The quote-unquote press conference?
And that's one thing I have in common with Giselle, is that she can give really good advice, but she takes none of it. Like, she's probably one of the worst people, like, as a human being on the show. But, God, she gives good advice. She always has. But, man, she's a hypocrite. And then Candace starts going on this... Candace is like always in a turban and she's always making grand speeches about everything. And her speeches just are repeating things over and over. So right now she goes, friendship requires reciprocation. Friendship requires reciprocation. Friendship requires... I was like, I'm going to kill this girl. Someone hit her.
Yeah. Please.
Just repeating over and over again.
She's like, you don't know this. I have Ashley. I have invited Ashley to be friends. It's like, oh, Candace Dillard has formally invited Ashley to be friends via paperless posts. And sadly, it was just not like not accepted, apparently.
Yeah. And Ashley's like, you invited me one time. One time you took me somewhere. And you went to her restaurant. So you got free food, too. That doesn't really count, Candace.
Yeah. Candace is like, you know, I have tried to be friends with you. And you're only interested in being surface friends. Like... where is the square napkin when I needed it? A real friend would give it to me right now. What am I going to blot my eyes with? What? What?
Yeah, there's nothing square for her to blot her eyes with.
Yeah.
She's just grabbing a lamp off the table and trying to... ow!
A lampshade. She's shocking herself with the tears. It was worth it to dry them off.
And Giselle's like, if I would have known this fight would have ensued, I would have kept my mouth shut. I'm like, you started it.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing.
What do you mean?
My favorite thing on Bravo TV is when someone goes, if I had known that this would cause so much drama, I never would have said anything.
Yeah, you started it, sucka. So then the next day, the girls are meeting up, and Kara's just pretending nothing has happened with Giselle again. She's like, hello, Giselle. Good to see you, girl.
We're in the lobby. It's lovely. It reminds me of my home in Great Falls, which I fully own.
Have you seen my new living room? You're sitting in it right now. I own this hotel. I live here.
Yes.
Prove me wrong.
Security, could you please inform Miss Giselle Bryant over here that this is actually my house and I own it. I own the Windsor Gardens in court. Yes.
Thank you. I got rest. Thank you for understanding that I needed that. Did you all have fun last night when I was grieving in my room?
I needed that time. I need my people in South Africa to see my face, to give them hope, to get through the day. I'm sorry.
Griefstagram Live.
Griefstagram.
I started that app. $79.99 and it smells like an ox.
Well, we're cross-pollinating with Karen Huger Fragrances. Yes.
Oh, lordy.
So Karen's like, did you all have fun? And Giselle goes, Giselle just like shuts down. She's like, yes, we had a great time. And so, then
Giselle's better at coming for you when other people are around to watch.
Yeah, she doesn't want to waste it. She doesn't want to waste the scene, you know? So, Giselle's just staring at Karen, just staring at her. And she's like, Karen could not be bothered to hang out in the Big Easy, but I can't question Karen because if I question the grieving, then I'm the a-hole. Also, I'm just the a-hole in general, but that's neither here nor there. Rah.
Yeah, you are the a-hole.
Yeah.
Okay. So Giselle's throwing her dad's birthday party, and so she's kind of getting everybody ready for that, and everybody's splitting up today. Some of the girls are going to go see alligators. Some girls are going to go see a psychic. Some people are going to go see a lady who cooks things.
Yeah. So, Giselle is bringing Candace to... she's going to be bringing Candace to this fabled restaurant in New Orleans where they're going to be meeting the mayor of all people. And so Giselle, she's bringing Candace because she's like, well, Candace worked in the Obama administration so she can like handle herself around a mayor.
How
many napkins is the mayor bringing? You know,
how many, what are they bringing?
Napkins. That's what I want to know.
Barack Obama, the biggest expenditure in his election campaign was for little square napkins that can be folded up 90 times to cry into.
Yeah, Obama, she was just blotting her eyes with those like Shepard Fairey posters that said hope.
I need to know this because she worked as a staffer on President Obama's. I need to know what she did.
I assume she was an intern.
Yeah, I need to know, because I don't know that she's a pro. I feel like she's one of those people with a clipboard who knock on my door and interrupt my naps. Okay,
she feels very much like she didn't work in a real White House, but she worked in like a Shonda Rhimes White House, you know,
or the White House in the mall.
Or she worked at that gift shop that's like near the White House where you can pay $5 and get your photo taken at the podium to make it look like you're Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah. Or she just bought White Out one time. I think the thing with all of these examples is that we're saying Candace worked.
Yeah.
And that's what's not making sense to me. It's just not ringing true.
Something's
to me.
Not tracking with this story. I'm pretty sure that photo was Photoshopped that they showed of her with Obama.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't want to take credit away from anybody who's done good in the world. It just sounds weird. Candace worked in a sentence sounds weird. Okay,
yeah,
there, I'm putting it out there.
I just feel like I didn't trust that photo because it was basically a picture of Obama at the debate with Romney, and Candace was standing next to him at the podium waving and in a t-shirt that said, "I love Disneyland." So I was like, this doesn't look like it was a real photo.
Oh, Candace Dillard, field organizer, Obama for America.
So I think that means that basically, I think if you're the field organizer, don't take my word for it. I don't want to be accused of spreading right-wing propaganda again. I think a field organizer like arranges things like at events and places where Obama would be going to. But that maybe that's an advanced team. You know what? I don't know. And honestly, it doesn't really matter that much.
Well, she was an intern associate at the White House. So you were right when you said intern.
Yeah.
Responsible for selecting and placing 150 interns from a pool of 1,500 plus. Assessed applications for spring 2011 intern class and summer intern class. Corresponded daily with intern coordinators.
That's like her dream job. I can just imagine her like being Candace, being like a gatekeeper, being like her own version of Tyra Banks for interns. I can see her just like loving that.
I was rooting for you. I invited you to be a friend intern.
Before me are two interns. Each one has what the other one needs. I'm sorry. You will not be going forward. Just turns over their resume.
Taking and returning calls from high-profile political figures. Oh, God. This is the best paragraph I've ever read in my life.
Taking and returning phone calls. Wow.
I'm like, Ronnie wakes up early in a town full of celebrities. Dresses himself in clothes worn probably by celebrities somewhere in city full of celebrities. Walks dog named after a celebrity. Around a block the celebrities have walked on. Thank you!
I think Candace and Carl need to team up with, like, their LinkedIn and, like, start, like, some sort of, like, learning annex thing of how to, like, beef up your resume. Like, all right, gents, so you've been working in the White House helping out interns. So what you really need to do is say, hey, interns, who wants to blow me? Anyone? Anyone?
Oh, gosh, we're dicks. We're clowning someone for having a job. Sorry.
Yeah, literally like a job, like a job that you should be so proud of, and we're just, like, tearing her down. When there's so many other people that need to be torn down.
It's because she blocks her eyes too much. Okay, take it back, Candace. You go, girl. Good for you. You did
she's
great. I love you now. I changed my mind.
You
I
think she's still listening? You think she's still listening at this? She's already turned it off, blotted her eyes 5 times, called Chris. When he didn't answer, she's called her mom, and now they're in a fight.
Wiped her eyes with a lamp, and she was dead. Oh, okay, so Giselle tells them, yeah, I'm going to take Candy ass to plan some stuff for my dad, and one of my ex-boyfriends might be coming tonight. And Candace is like, okay, rekindleization, which I liked.
Yeah,
I think that word should also go on her LinkedIn.
I was about to say, I feel like Amazon should take that. Be like, oh, this is what happens when you come back to us after you're sick of your iPad.
Yeah. So then Ashley and Katie, I don't know where they found drugs, but they just it seems like they're just drugged out walking around town dancing in front of statues.
It's called Bourbon Street. Yeah. They're taking photos. They're I mean, Katie is on another planet this entire episode. So then Monique is in a like a bus thing with aka a bus, a van. You know, their typical transportation. She's with Karen and she's telling she's with Karen and Robin, and she's...
Well, Karen's like, what did I miss?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, that conversation went left out of nowhere. You should have been there. And Karen goes, well, who left it?
Yeah. And basically, Monique says that Giselle blew up Candace's spot to the entire group. the night before, which is what happened, because that's how the fight started, which was that Giselle said, by the way, yeah, Candace doesn't think you're really trying to get pregnant. I never should have said that. Oh, well.
Yeah, and Karen, like, that's all Karen needs. She's like, well, the pot's still pot stirring while people's lives, where she calls her friends and she's just stirring their pots. Who stirs pots? Pot stirs! Stirring the pot, lady. Like, she's so excited to have a bone.
Karen was also doing a lot of this thing that she does where it seems like she's trying to discreetly remove a piece of spinach from her teeth. Like, she moves her lips around, like, they're pursed closed, and she, like, juts them forward, and then up, and then down, and all around in circles, and it's like, Karen, there's no spinach in there. You can stop. You don't have to keep doing this. But it's like the entire episode she was doing it.
Yeah, she does that. Like, she's still trying to make sure her gums are there.
Yeah. Still there. Oh, good.
So Robin's like, well, I think the main thing with Candace is helping her rise above the position her mother put her in. I was like, her house? Her wedding? What position are we talking about here?
Oh, bipolar, right? Isn't she bipolar? Candace is like, no!
And then Monique's like, oh, yeah, she's basically the new Ashley now. It's like, yay, someone else's mommy issues.
Yeah.
And then Monique's like, well, wait, someone's a psychiatrist there, right? Her mom? Well, maybe she needs to go talk. Well, I guess her mom. Okay, never mind.
Really liking Monique this season. I don't know why. I just like her. She just, I think I said this last week, but she's just sitting there. She's like, I'm pregnant. I'm honestly too tired to do anything but sit here and look at these crazy women and make fun of them. I was like, it works for me.
Yeah, we always need that person in a season.
Yeah. So now Giselle's over with Candace. And she's talking about how people have boundaries and probably shouldn't be putting your hand up in people's faces. And Candace is like, did I do that? Did I? I mean, I can barely remember. It's a very convenient excuse. Very convenient.
And then she starts third-personing herself. She's like, I know drunk Candace can be a bit much. Maybe Candace can apologize. Candace admits. It was a lot of Candace for Candace yes. to give out. Other people to take in of Candace.
She goes, I have a big bite, but I'm a little dog. And Giselle's like, why don't you try that one again? I'm a big dog with a little bite. No. I'm a dog with three heads. No.
It's a bite day afternoon.
I'm hypoallergenic, and I have issues with biscuits. No.
But Giselle can't figure it out either. I was like, these two are idiots. They're just going to drive around trying to figure out this one thing. And so Candace is finally like, I don't know. I'm just a loud dog. Like, okay, that fits. Yeah,
sure.
So then Ashley and Katie, you know that a place is authentic when it's called Voodoo Authentica.
Best voodoo east of the Mississippi, or west, I guess.
And it's like Penn, you know, from Penn and Teller.
Yeah, it really is. Good call.
Doesn't it look just like him? And Ashley's like, I want a reading. Oh, I would shake your hand, but my hands are sweating. I'm so nervous. And then Katie's like, oh, you know what? I got a surgery done on my hands, so I can't sweat from my hands anymore.
Yeah, what was that? She's like, no sweat. Ever. See? No sweat.
Yeah. It all comes out of her butt crack now. By the way, that's not a surgery, everybody. It's called Botox.
Okay. Oh, is that what it is?
I think you can Botox your sweat glands or whatever. So if you're sweating profusely from one place, you can Botox. I'm pretty sure that's what they do.
I actually think that she still sweats from her palms, but she had like some drug-induced vision where she saw like one of the band members of like that Muppets band, and they were like, it was like that doc guy, and he was like, hey, Katie, I'm gonna do an operation. No more sweating on you. Da-da-da-da-da. And then Gonzo shows up and something explodes in his face, and she's like, my hands, they don't sweat anymore.
I actually like that for Katie. That's a good life for Katie. You know, no, I wish that's what she'd been doing this whole time that she was off.
I think you could think I was making a joke. I was being very serious.
That's actually her storyline.
She had that vision. She was fully interfaced with the Muppets band and then got a sweat-reducing surgery in her hands as a result. She occasionally sees Ralph in the corner on his little piano. She's like, stop following me, Ralph.
Oh, my God. Okay, so Ashley's like, so, Mr. Psychic Person, do you see any little people in my future? And he's like, well, I see your husband tossing them at an Irish bar. She's like, no, that was last week. Babies, I mean babies. He's like, well, let me be honest. Out of 15 cards, you got one of my oh shit cards. It's
yeah.
a really, really old guy crawling out of a hole. She's like, damn it, that happened last weekend too. I'm talking about the future.
All right, let's see. Well, I'm getting a vision of Gollum trying to impregnate you, but secretly going off to gay bars. Does this make anything make any sense?
Are you following us?
So he goes, it looks like you're putting so much pressure on being a mother that it's slowing your flow. Wow, what a great read. You tell a lady of a certain age that she's putting pressure on herself to be a mother, and
yeah,
like,
especially when
thought?
She comes in going, "Dude, am I going to have a baby?"
Yeah.
I think you're feeling worried about having a baby.
I would have liked it if his oh shit card really meant like, oh, you're going to have to shit later today. That's what that means. So stay
you
away
have
from
a
the crawfish.
High poop day.
High yeah. poop day. Your stomach will not react well to the dirty rice here.
Yeah. So she's like, well, to be transparent, I've had a miscarriage, and me and my husband, you know, we broke up. My husband left me because he didn't want children. And it was at that point I felt like my relationship was over. You know why? Because it was over.
It was.
Your relationship was over.
It was legitimately
like the least
over.
Psychic scene I've ever seen.
You also sang a terrible song, which was the real nail in the coffin, but somehow you interpreted that as like the crowbar that would wedge it open. And and then the guy's like, well, children are supposed to be the culmination of the marriage, not the glue to keep it together. And she's like, oh my wow. gosh, that's deep. Like, you never heard that before? What? What?
And then got to Ashley going, you know, we've been through a lot, so I'm basically ready to yield my profits here. That sounds terrible, but it's true.
What is the nonsense that everyone in this scene is saying? Like, everyone, like, as soon as they walk into that shop, they're just saying random things. I think everything that they're saying came from, like, the Apple autocorrect. You know when you press the suggestion, the autofill, you just press it to see what sentence it will make for you,
yeah.
you know?
Mm.
I'm almost tempted to do it right now.
Culmination, people here, too.
I'm going to make an Ashley sentence right now with okay, autofill. It's saying, I'm going to start it with, what's the word I should start it with?
I'm going to start with Ashley.
Okay. Ashley is...
Was...
Okay, our morning dinner party for tonight. Now, that actually is deep.
Ashley was our morning dinner party for tonight. Okay, here's mine. Ashley was a great day to be a... good person and I wanna see ya next ya girl lol.
I'm doing
God, I'm a way dumber person than you. My autocorrect. Ashley was a great day to be a good person and I wanna see ya next ya girl. I wanna see you next ya girl lol.
I'm doing Ash and Michael has poor grammar Apple always been the perfect way to start the night and come join us in our Irvine show. Wow, I've really been promoting our...
So it's basically your text to Kelly from Rojas Sauce and Beverly Hills.
It's basically, I like that even my autofill is trying to promote our shows. Ash and Michael has always been the perfect way to start the night and come join us at the Irvine show.
Okay, I'm going to see what Katie did when we didn't see her on screen, okay? When she was away from the show. Katie, it's changing to Katie's. Katie's was a great... day to be it's the same thing a good person and I wanna was the way you are all so beautiful. Katie's was a great day to be a good person and I wanna was the way you are all so beautiful. God, I'm an idiot. How come yours are so good and positive, you know, and smart and mine's dumb?
I'm going to do a really fast one where I'm just going to tap really quickly on all the autofills and then read it to see what happens, and I'm going to do it for
that's
Karen.
What I did.
Oh really?
Yeah, say, what were you doing?
No, I was choosing the words. I was, because you know you get three options. So I'm like, it's like choose your own adventure.
No, I was just choosing the one in the middle.
Oh, okay. I'll do the one. Also, Karen was a great day for me and my dad. By the way, what is up with the iPhone's insistence on declaring that all these women are a great, great way to start the day or a great day? Karen was a great day for me.
Siri is basically the patriarchy with a slightly higher voice. Okay, so let's get back into this. So then we go over to the alligator boat, and Karen's like, alligators, wow, that was... this is terrifying. And then they just keep cutting away. Yeah. They don't have much for the alligator boat, apparently.
Security, security. I would just escort this alligator out of the bayou. Thank you.
The boat guy's like, one way, swamp twos. And they're like, ah!
Karen with the gators, they did not spend a lot of time with it, but it was pretty special. Just because she looked at them with such indignant rage. Like, I can't believe that you came to invade our tour of the bayou. It's like, no, you're here to see them. No, they're here to see me, and as far as I can tell, they haven't donated to my for-profit charity.
It's called Karen Huger Huger Enterprise Huger. Mm?
So then we have Giselle and Candace at Dookie Chase's, and Dookie Chase. And Leah Chase comes out, and she is like the queen of Creole cooking. I feel like I've seen her. I think she's like very, very, very famous. And I feel like I've seen her on some. I think she was on Top Chef New Orleans, and I think she's been on a million other things. But so she comes out, and she's great. She's a 95-year-old lady in a wheelchair, cooking for generations, probably seen just like a million things. You know, like I actually felt like, oddly enough, I felt like we were privileged just to be able to watch her sit and like talk with these dingbats, you know?
I like how she gave a shady look to Candace. Did you notice that? She just looked at her like, ugh. She's like, sit down, you're just trying to make me look bad. And she just passed away, Leah Chase.
Really?
So yeah, RIP lady.
Oh,
sweet
that's,
lady.
Yeah,
they
that's
put
first.
It at the end of the
Oh, I didn't see
the
that.
End of the episode. So well, basically really, the mayor
then it's
comes
really
in.
A privilege that they got like, you know, her on camera, right? You know, that's awesome. Not that she died, but that they got that had to have that moment with her.
Yeah, you're like, awesome. That's awesome that she died in time to get an RIP on TV. Lucky lady. So the mayor comes in, and they all talk about how it's like so good to be, you know, women working together in the city and kicking ass. And then they get some gumbo. And it's a nice scene, but like I don't have anything to bitch about. So take it away, Ben.
By the way, Leah Chase died like yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like she... Oh, she died, not yesterday, she died on June 1st, so really recently, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sad.
Anyway,
so Ashley and Katie are lingerie shopping. Yeah, just dancing around with pasties on, flapping boobies. And then we go back to the alligator, and the guy's like, all right, now, alligators don't eat people, but people keep their hands inside for the sake of not being bit. And they're like, ooh.
And he starts showing, there's this big old alligator named Brutus, who's really old. He's like the king of the bayou, and he's showing how, like, the notches on his bones on his back show, like, the more you have, the older he is, and showing how he's just this big old alligator, and Karen's like, oh, he's as old as Michael. And then she tries to feed Brutus, so they have, like, some sort of meat on a stick, and she, like, puts it over the boat, and Brutus, like, jumps up, like, you know, kind of like me in the morning. And Karen's like, ah! Well, I tried to feed him, but he didn't want it, so let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, it's Chris. He's like, thank you for coming to the swamp. I appreciate the sausage. So Katie and Ashley are talking about how much they just love hanging out with each other. God, they didn't realize how much they liked each other before, but... it's really nice to be friends with someone who doesn't judge me, like Candace. Like, Ashley, girl, you have been the biggest meddler and life ruiner on this show. So, enjoy this, okay? Yeah. This is your season. It's revenge
season.
Ashley
has been one of the messiest people on Bravo, and we enjoy that. So the fact that she's trying to act like she never has been messy, come on. Come on.
Yeah. So then it's time to go out at night, and of course everybody's running late because, you know, girls getting better.
Yeah. Katie needs like 15 more minutes, and Giselle's like, all right, I'll give you 7 more minutes. And she's like, Katie's like, I need 15, 7, 15, 7.
And then we get the scene of Katie trying to put on a wig. I don't know what the hell's going on with Katie, but yeah. I don't even know if it's funny.
Yeah, it was. She's just like,
I'm worried. I'm literally worried.
Yeah, she just plops this messy wig on her head. And it's just like there, like it looked like a towel practically. Although by the time she got downstairs, it was in order, mostly. But it was still like, wow, what is going on with Katie? I am actually a little concerned. I'm amused by her, but I am also a little bit concerned.
Yeah, because it's like Grey Gardens when that lady's putting T-shirts on her head, you know, for fashion. Just like yeah. her looking through a pile of trash and trying to put it on. And it's just like what it reminds me of. It was a real wig, but just when she was putting it on, she just had that crazy lady look on her.
Yeah, then Karen went in to check on her, and Katie still had to put on her panties. So she's about to put them on right in front of Karen. She's like, no, thank you. I've already seen an alligator today. Please do that in the bathroom. Don't need to see this. Thank you.
So then in the van, sorry, I was just like sitting here listening to you.
I know, I was listening
sometimes
to
I
you.
Forget to read notes.
I know, I was like, ah, oh, that was a funny, funny memory of that show. Let's just think about Karen by the door, standing there, upset.
Yeah. So then in the van, they're talking about, is Ashley going to get to have more kids, or is Monique going to have more kids? And Monique's like, well, we said 4, but... God, I don't know. He's going to make me do this, isn't he? Fuck.
So Ashley actually apologizes to Monique, you know, because, you know, Monique had a miscarriage last season, and now Ashley has, you know, suffered through that. So now that she has that perspective, she tells Monique, you know, that she didn't really appreciate the loss that Monique had been going through and wasn't sensitive to her, which I thought was really, really nice. And Monique was also really touched by that. However, what I am going to say, though, is that I still think Ashley was right to be like, y'all, like, Monique was drunk driving. Like, does anyone else see that? Like, I think it's fine to call that shit out. I'm like, drunk driving is drunk driving.
Yeah, and also Ashley's just saying this to, like, get back at Candace for being mean to her while she after she had a miscarriage, you know? Yeah. It's, like, the grossest use of a miscarriage I've ever seen on TV. Like, I don't really need this
A miscarriage of justice, if you will.
Yes, yes, if you will. So Monique's like, that was refreshing. We're friends again.
Yeah. But it really was a nice apology, but but Monique, you're not off the hook. We know what happened with that tree. We know what happened with that 5 martini lunch.
I'm like, listen, it was a tree that got hurt. Everything's okay.
So, no, it was more that she was so mad about being called out about it, you know?
Yeah.
So now it's time for the big party.
Well, it wasn't just being called out. I mean, she was walking around. Ashley was basically, you know, using that whole season to be like, Monique has a drinking problem, you guys. It's bad. She has children.
Well, because it, like, escalated to that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's where she was. She definitely, you know, it doesn't even matter.
Am I confusing you?
You are. You're testing my ability to. I'm going to have to go back to the autocorrect for the rest of my portion of this podcast.
Yeah, let's just use that for the next part of the recap.
Yeah. So now everyone's dancing, doing the second line with Giselle's dad. The band is playing. It's really fun and nice. I was thinking, like, I would never dance in that New Orleans humidity. I'm like, if I'm in fancy clothes, I am going from air conditioning to air conditioning. No shuffling for me.
Yeah, in a suit. I mean, yeah. No. You know, there's a reason I stay in this town. This town's gross. It's getting worse. There's crime. You know, all the stuff that people complain about. Hollyweird. But, girl, it's 80 degrees.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
And I'm in flip-flops.
It's a dry heat. It's a dry heat.
Yeah.
So now everyone's basically at this. It looks like it was a church that was turned into a bar or a restaurant. So everyone's there and chatting. And, like, all of Giselle's family and family friends and childhood friends are showing up, and there's a lot of happiness, etc.
Yeah, we're just reading the notes. This is just like everyone's happy and saying hi. Like half the scene is Giselle just going hi, and people saying hi, Giselle. I haven't seen you in so long. I know. Hello. I'm like, wow, Giselle left a great impression on this town.
Yeah, and then Giselle basically kicks out the band. She's like, okay, we need to film a scene, so get the hell out of here. So she gathers up the ladies and she's like, so. How is everyone's days? We all were doing different things, so I want to catch up and hopefully find something to argue about.
Yeah, so Katie starts, and she's like, we saw the voodoo practitioner. He said I need to relax.
And then Candace, she apologizes to Ashley, and she's like, Ashley. No, she's always breaking down to song, and she's like, she's like, I don't know what you're going through. It's not my journey, but I would like to be part of it and know what you're dealing with. And now she's like,
okay, that's going to take some time.
They're like, ooh.
That's like the
Karen's
theme.
Like, oh, I love this. It sounds like Miss Karen. Mm?
Yeah, that's the theme of this season, it feels like, is everyone telling each other that they need time to get back to where they were.
I know, when they were already not friends.
Yeah, you know? I'm like, you're on episode, like, 7 by now, okay? Time's up.
Yeah, and Karen's like, well, that's messy, you know? And Ashley says,
well, it takes time because, you know, I love really hard and fast.
And Karen's like, oh my God, it sounds like me. I'm going to pass out. Mm. Candace is like, is this always how you've been about friendships? That you just love too hard and fast? And Ashley's like, actually, I'm more of a loner kind of person. I don't really need friends. And Robin's like, yeah, you know, I have to say this in Ashley's defense. It really actually took us, gosh, what, 2 to 3 years for me to stop calling her a gold-digging whore. So, yeah. You know, yeah, she just needs a little time.
Yeah, you know, it takes about 2 or 3 years to lower your standards to the point where you can accept her as a friend in your life. Yeah. By the way, all this self-assessment from Ashley that she loves too hard and that she's a bit of a loner, we have never seen any evidence of this, have we? Right?
No, like she just doesn't. New. She's just like, why? You can't just tell me off one day and then the next day be like, I'm sorry, and then we're best friends again. Just say that.
Yeah. So Ashley's like,
based on what I've seen between her and her mother, I don't fully believe that Candace is going to know how to conduct herself in a mature way going forward. She needs to grow up.
I'm like, Ashley, have you seen seasons 1 to 3 of Ashley on this show?
So then everybody's eating dinner, and Karen goes up to Candy ass, and she's like, well, what happened last night? Because I've heard a different version, so I need to hear it. And she's like, let's move over here. We're both in turbans. Let's have a secret turban meeting.
Turban to turban. It's like they both have, like, chips in them, so therefore, like, the turbans can sync up.
So she's, basically, Candace is like, well, she purports herself to be this open person, but now all of a sudden she needs a moment? That is some cod liver bullshit. And yeah. Karen's gonna be on her side, you know, because she's still pissed at Ashley, too.
Yeah, I mean, and we, as we all know, cod liver bullshit is the worst of the bullshits.
Yes, it's the most extreme of the bullshits. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to have, like,
although it is very good
salmon.
For your liver.
Yeah. It's actually also the most delicious of the bullshits.
Is it?
Cod liver. It sounds wonderful to me.
I mean, it sounds good for your skin, I'll say that.
Yeah, I think so. You know, full of bullshit, but you never looked better.
So then Giselle is introducing her ex-boyfriend Steve to Ashley.
Yeah.
And telling us that, oh, you know, Sherman and I are so fresh. However, I've been friends with Steve so long that it makes sense that he's invited.
Yeah.
So basically she's banging Steve.
Yeah, that's the plan. You know? Yeah, she got a piece. So, yeah, the girls are, they start to grill Steve about Giselle, all these questions, et cetera, et cetera. And then basically they Giselle and Steve were together for about a year or so, and then Karen's like, oh, so you ran him off after a year, huh? You ran him off? You know, she has a track record that we are noticing as friends, which we are, and we want her to do better with her inability to keep a man down. Am I right, everyone? Am I right? Giselle's the worst, right? I say that as a friend.
Yeah. And then Giselle's like, well, that's unfair that this woman won't answer my questions about anything, but now she's going to tell Steve about my life, which one thing has nothing to do with the other.
I was about to say, I didn't understand. That was, again, an autofill right there. That was Giselle anger.
You know, it's Giselle anger. It never makes any sense. The things that she gets so mad about don't even compute.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's the equivalent of saying, oh, well, that's unfair. Karen never divulges her life, but then she buys an iPod. It's like,
yeah, that's basically. And the story of how they broke up is so Giselle, too, because she's like, well, we dated for a year, and then I heard from somebody that he was probably cheating on me, and then I saw him talking to a girl, so I said, that's it, never speak to me again.
Great work, Giselle, great work.
Yeah. So Karen's like, well, I'm going to walk away now, and you just slip that question in there. Get that date.
Yeah. So she's... Yeah, so Karen starts gossiping to Monique. She's talking about the Ashley and Candace situation. And Monique's like,
Peach cobbler?
Is there a peach cobbler around? Someone get me that peach cobbler.
Like,
thanks.
This is delicious.
Yeah.
So Karen's like, well, I spoke to Candace, and I figured, well, I mean, boundaries were set, but the boundaries weren't respected. And Monique's like, delicious. Does this come with ice cream?
We have another slice of that peach cobbler, anything, you know, I'll just take some whipped cream on it. I'll just eat it, just put the can right up to my mouth. So Karen's basically saying how Ashley feel, like, she's saying that, like, the issue is that Ashley is setting a boundary for Candace when Ashley herself has always been the queen of, like, totally disregarding other people's boundaries, and that's frustrating for people.
Yeah, and Ashley's like, well, who made her the judge and jury? And so Giselle comes on. She's like, oh, yay, fighting.
Yes, yeah.
This is getting boring.
Giselle has this great reaction because she comes by and she's like, she walks by to be like, oh, did you see there's more peach cup? Are we fighting? Are we fighting? What's going on? She like something like resets in her CPU. She's like, there's a fight?
Yeah, I was going to come to yell at Karen, but if you guys are going to fill the time, I'd much rather that.
Yes.
Okay. So Ashley's like, well, you apologized to me and you didn't mean it, Candace. And then we go into this again. And Candace is like, well, I apologize for being aggressive, but what I said, I stand by. She's like, I don't care what you think. Don't waste your precious hair. Don't come for my uterus.
I don't think anyone was coming for your uterus, but definitely not Michael. Oh.
So Candace stays pretty calm through most of this to prove that she can stay calm, but then she gets really mad. She's like, you and your uterus are fine, and you're not going to act like you don't live your whole motherfucking life to talk about people. And they're like, oh, she said the F word at a birthday party for an old person. So she's like, sorry.
Yeah, Giselle's like, Candace, you're being too aggressive. Giselle. This is from Giselle, of all people, right?
Yeah. So Giselle's like, guys, this is done. This is my father's 80th. You only turn 80 once. Well, in Karen's situation, twice. But that's a whole nother story.
And surprisingly enough, Monique is the one who stands up for Ashley. And she goes, isn't it possible that Ashley went through a huge loss and it's changed her perception? So maybe we shouldn't judge her by what she said in the past or what she's done in the past. It's like, whoa, what is happening down here?
Because Ashley said sorry. That's all she needed to do this whole damn time.
And by the way, it was also around this time where, I don't know if anyone else noticed, I saw a little cameo from Barry of Southern Charm New Orleans.
Didn't see it.
Yeah, he was sort of like in the foreground, like blurred out. Not blurred out, but he was like the focus wasn't on him. So he was just sort of blurry in the foreground. Makes me wonder if they were trying to do they were considering doing like a crossover thing and they just scrapped it, or he just happened to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thoughts to think about.
Yeah. So then Giselle gives a speech, and then she's telling us, see, look at me. I've become such a compassionate person on this trip.
Yeah. Like, yeah, real compassionate. And now Candace, proving to be the new Countess Candace, she comes out. She's like, happy birthday to you. At which point Ashley then starts to try to harmonize.
Because Karen's like, dear God.
It's like,
they're all mortified. But Ashley can't even find the key. She's on some completely different key. And she's like, I'm just trying to help. She couldn't have gotten a happy birthday and no one was even listening. And then Katie's like, yeah, she sings like this. And they start cracking up. And then Monique's like, oh, geez. Now we've got these two mean girling against somebody.
She's like, give me more peach cobbler.
Yeah. So then Giselle on the van on the way home is like, you know what, everybody? I think it's just time to go to bed. You've got Monique here pregnant with 8 children. You've got Karen in flip-flops, and God knows what's going on top of her head. Ashley's falling asleep. We're just tired. Let's go to bed. I've entertained y'all enough for one night.
She goes, I think I deserve a pat on the back for realizing the ladies are tired. I was like, congratulations for making some very elementary observations about people who you've been with for the past several hours and are exhausted.
And then 3 hours later, Giselle comes back to her hotel room.
Yeah.
So she went out. She just didn't want the ladies there.
Yeah, basically. So now it's the next morning, and the women are at breakfast, and the plan is to go on a steamboat and then go to Café Dumont, and Katie is missing, So then we cut to producer Cam, which is aka means a producer on their cell phone. And Katie's just lying in bed in a turban. Like, there's a big turban situation happening on this show, and I approve of it.
Yeah. So then let's see. So Monique just decides to go back to the hotel because she's really tired. And she's having her mother-in-law to all the family's coming for their rainbow party. And it's the first time her mother-in-law has come to see them in their Potomac home. So I guess they just started speaking again. So
yeah.
That should be fun to watch.
So so they all go on to this steamboat onto the Mississippi, which, fun fact, Mississippi goes all the way up to Minneapolis. I'm sure most people knew that, but I didn't know it. So I'm, like, really excited about that. So anyway, they're on the Mississippi on this steamboat thing. And they're all sitting at a table, like, hanging out. And there's, like, this, like, mayfly or something that's just, like, that's on Candace's, like, armpit or something. I felt bad for the bug. But the bug is there. And Robin goes, "Bug, oh, no." Which is, like, the most low-key reaction to a bug I've ever seen.
And then Candace goes full-on Kyle. She's like, "Yeah, that's, like, Kyle no, Richards. Bug! Oh, God.
Is there a bug? Is there a bug?" And she's, like, standing up, and she's, like, shaking herself, and she's, like, running in circles, and all the women are just staring at her like, this bitch. This fucking bitch.
She's so annoying.
Yeah.
So then, basically, Karen's still annoyed. Ooh, because they started giving Giselle crap because they found, you know, Giselle admitted that she went to see Steve. And they, like, drag out of her that she got a kiss and stuff. And, And Ashley's like, "Is this why you wanted to cut the party short?" And Giselle's like, "Well, you know, that one was tired, and that one was falling asleep, and then this one was grieving." Karen's like, "Stop putting it like that. This one. Stop saying it like that. This one. She's grieving. Ooh, this one."
You said it 7 times this week, so let's drop the word grief and try to step out of it, okay? You can't say that word. I'm grieving right now.
And she's like, should I use a different word?
Giselle's like, okay. And then Karen goes, "Oh, you set me up with the thought that I was welcome to come on your trip to help me get over the loss of my parents. Note to self, I'm watching you, Jizzy. I'm watching you."
Oh, God. And Karen's ready to yell at Giselle, but yeah, Giselle's in no place to fight today. So she's just letting Karen look like an idiot.
Yeah, and so she's basically like, so now Karen, in her way of getting back at Giselle, because Karen feels attacked, she's now saying, "So, are you ready for a new relationship? What's going on? Like, you know, I don't know where you are with Sherman. I don't know where you are with Sherman." Which, of course, is the perfect button to press, because Giselle's like, "I can't believe that Karen would bring up Sherman." I'm like, "Well, you bring up Sherman every single episode." Like, the two of them are so perfect together.
Yeah. So then Katie pops up at Café Dumont to have some beignets.
Yes.
And the other girls are just, like, tired on a van. That's basically this half of the show. Girls tired on a van.
Yeah. So, basically, so they're talking about Steve again. And because Katie full-on flirted with Steve the night before, she was like, what sort of shirt is this? Like, I'm going to see the collar. And then she, like, gets up, like, her face, like, really close to Steve's face while she checks the back of the collar, you know?
And Giselle's like, "Yeah, he said that you dug into his collar. He said you're weird, so no more, Katie."
Yeah. So Karen's like, "Well, I feel like I didn't get enough of a rise out of Giselle on the boat, so I'm going to try again. Giselle, I was so happy to see you with Steve. I was glad to see you smile. That ugly, disgusting smile. But I was happy it was there nonetheless."
"You had a male friend." And Robin's like, "Well, it's the first time you've been around someone since Sherman, you know, and you're ready to spread your wings." And she's like, "If you mean we're over it, yes, we are over it. It's over with me and Sherman." Karen's like, "So, you and Sherman." It's like, "Karen, we already talked about this." "No, you said I couldn't ask any questions, so I just wanted to know." She's like, "No questions about Sherman."
"So, whenever you, someone asks you to do something and you want to answer in the affirmative, do you ever say something like, 'Sure, man'?" Karen, stop that.
Karen. And Ashley's like, "So, you know that they've been talking or..." And Giselle's like, "Well, last time I went to Karen, she asked me and I said, 'No, I'm not discussing it with you.' And she said we need boundaries, so boundary up, bah, boundary up, bah." And she takes a napkin holder and puts it on top of another napkin holder. And she's like, "Boundary up, Karen." And Karen's like, "Oh, no, boundary down."
Boundary down. I do not accept your shabby boundary based on napkin holders that's tall but not wide so I can get around it. Boundary defied. You know, as a friend, which you say you want to be, I was just asking, when did this happen that you broke up with Sherman, who I thought was the love of your life, who you supplicated yourself for him to come back to? When did that happen?
And she goes, you're being defensive right now, Kettle Black. So that was so funny. So Giselle, basically, we find out what's going on. Karen tells us, she's like, when it got back to me that Sherman was already having sex with another woman, and my guess is Giselle had already heard that rumor and was afraid I was going to bring it up at the table. But I didn't out her. She outed herself.
Which is funny because you just outed her.
Yeah, and she didn't out herself. So what are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, it's come to my attention that Sherman has been shopping at Banana Republic, but I'm not going to say that because I'm not Giselle. I'm not messy like that.
Yeah, and this is where they show Giselle just eating her beignet and dipping it in chocolate milk, and she's telling us how she loves to eat her beignet while we listen to Karen just drone on over classical music.
Yeah, it goes like black and white. It's like this random sequence. She's just like, let a girl just enjoy her beignets. Beignets. Oh, my God. She's like, I like to dip my beignets in hot chocolate, then eat it, and you're disturbing me with your foolishness.
So then Karen isn't getting any kind of, she's not getting the ride she wants, and she looks stupid. And she's like, well, I think it's bullshit that you're attacking me at this table when I'm just asking you questions, but I will respect your boundary. But you will never disrespect me again. Do you get that? Never receive it.
You stay in your place. Get that. Receive it. It's like, oh, Karen went to the post office again.
Learning new concepts. Pack it and ship it.
I want to send you a message. One day, priority express in a one-size-fits-all box, Giselle. Get that. Receive it.
You better fucking receive it. And then Giselle's like, oh, okay. And Robin says, well, I just, you know, all that cursing is not necessary. I will curse when I want to, but I'll take that into consideration and talk to my therapist.
Thank you very much for your memo to the Karen Huger Personal Emotion Foundation. Thank you.
And then Giselle, I was like, well, this can't get any dumber. And then Giselle says, well, I'm the only person working in this relationship. I've tried so hard.
Really? Like the time you got mad at Karen because she just like talked to a lady who at that convention. Really?
God.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Silly. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Real Housewives of Potomac. We are going to talk about Southern Charm New Orleans later this week. And we've got a big week this week. You know, we're back to kind of normal. Below Deck, we're going to do a video episode tomorrow. So if you want to watch that streaming, it'll be at noon Pacific time.
Yes.
And if you just want to watch it, you can go on Crappens On Demand and watch that as a Patreon member of Crappens On Demand level. Go get your shirts, go get your tickets over at watchwithcrappens.com.
And go get your life.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
My name is Bella, and this is Lucas. I had a great family and a place to call home. One day,
Bella!
I found myself very far away, and this is the adventure that brought me home.
Experience one dog's heroic journey.
I'm never going to stop looking for her.
In the feel-good movie for the whole family.
Can't be.
A Dog's Way Home, available now on DVD.